pandemic time, you know, a lot of places are closed up. They've been open for years, but God has strategically placed us. I don't think it was by accident that we started out online. Amen. That's why, you know, we was able to weather this storm of the pandemic and still weathering this storm of the pandemic because we started out in that space. And the Bible says it like this, that he will what, provide a way of escape, that he prepared the way. So we were already prepared before we got there. Amen. That we already knew what to do. We already knew how to get on Facebook and YouTube and all these things and use Zoom and this stuff. So it was a seamless transition. In fact, that's how we've been doing our Bible study since our inception. Amen. So it was just seamless for us to be able to go full time that way. And now not only bring the gospel to those here in Greensboro, but gospel all around the world to the many that listen to our podcast, amen, on a weekly basis. And those who watch the videos and YouTube and the different places that we are. So we're just so grateful to God on this morning for your being here and we going before God in word. And I guess my right hand is just full of power this morning, amen. Every time I touch my right hand, things start to static. So I'm trying to remind myself not to do that. Amen. We're just so honored for all you all being here. We're glad to see the George back from vacation. I hope that they were rested and got to get some relaxation for that last week. Amen. And I want to acknowledge, I ask that you all continue to be in prayer for the Jordan and the Haywood family and I don't know what's the other Washington family. Amen. Mother Washington has gone on and transitioned to be with the Lord. She is the grandmother of Sister Jordan, amen. And God has blessed us to have her for 97 years. That's a blessing. 97 years old. I don't know how many people, you know, my father always, you know, he often jokes, and I don't think he's joking. I think he's serious about it. He said he wanted to live to be 100. And he said after 100, he was ready to go. But 97 years old, you know, in this day, but now I think they said because of coronavirus, they expected death rate, I think Brother Jordan was telling me, has gone down to about 77 or 75. 77 or 75 years old. So if you're at 75, or if you made it to around 70 anything, you are blessed. Amen. You know, we say in the Bible that what that he promised you what? 70, which we come to be a score to be 20, so we find that to be 70. And then anything after that is grace, amen. So the grace that was on her life. And the people that she was able to touch, amen. I got to meet her. She's a little bitty woman, amen. I remember years ago getting to meet her presence and just being there in her presence. So we extend our condolences and our prayers to you. And you know, this is not lip service for the Safe House Church, but if you need us, just give us a call. Anything that we can do to help you during that time period, please let us know. Amen. 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 So I wanted to move on, you know, as we're going forward on this day. Thank you to those that are online that so faithfully be with us online each and every week. Those who are on the Zoom, those who are on Facebook, those on Facebook Live, those who are on podcast. We come to you in each and every type of way that we possibly can, and we're just grateful to God for opening up the door for allowing us to do so. I also want to acknowledge the women at the well, amen, as they're getting ready for their women retreat. Our First Lady's been working really hard, got a lot of little good goodies for you all, so I hope that you all find that to be pleasant. And I know during this time period where we've been separated, for you all to finally get together in a physical space, you know, maybe I would really like, you know, y'all must have another place, because I know y'all about to have service up in there. Y'all tell me somebody came back with healing and all this kind of stuff, amen. But I know because of the way things are, they can't, but I'm asking that you all be blessed and that you enjoy that time and that group continues to grow. Because ladies need somewhere where they can talk and feel safe, amen? That it's not going to be an area where they're going in here just to talk and backbite or and all this kind of stuff. I know that, you know, that a lot of those kind of things go on, but we work really hard to make sure that's not the case in there, that this is a place that you can get help, amen? This is why it's a Safe House Church. This should be a place of safety. This is not a place of judgment, amen? You know, God said, judge and yes, you be judged, which means simply this, that the same level that I judge you on, it's the same level I'm held accountable to be judged. Amen. So we must be careful about that. But we will call out sin. Amen. But we do believe in living holy, that God is a holy God and that he's good. And I'm just grateful for all of you all that are here, that those who had traveling mercy, and God allow you to come up and down the dangerous highways on this morning. So no further ado, I'm going to get right into what we want to talk about today. We've been talking about mentality. So for the whole, remember the entire year, we've had this thing reimagining God. And when we talk about reimagining God, we talk about most of you met God at a certain time, a certain place, a certain situation, a certain circumstance. And we have a tendency to only know him in that. If I met a person who helped me, you know, to fix my tire on my car on the side of the road, the next time I meet that person, I don't have relationship with them, but I remember them. Oh, that is the person who helped me fix my tire. Y'all get where I'm going. Or that's the person that helped me do such and such. So now this person may be a MD doctor and can do all kinds of things, heart surgery, but I only know him in the aspect or the place that I experienced him, which was what? Fixing my tire. So therefore I have a tendency, this human tendency, to limit him to that space to say, oh, this is such and such that fixed my tire. But when I explore relationship, when I get into relationship with him, what I understand is that I found out that he's more than just someone who can fix a tire, that he might be a medical doctor and he can do this, and he has a family and he has children and he has a mothers and fathers and all these different kind of things that I get to explore and find out about him when I spend more time. So what we've been talking about this whole year is what, as we spend more time with God, that we find out that God is what? Limitless. There's no limit to what he can do. He's an infinite God. And because he's infinite, then what? We limit him to how we've experienced him. So what we've been encouraging to do is that let's expand how we experience God. So for the month of August, we've been on this thing of mentality. Mentality. Your mentality is how we think consistently over time. You can have a thought in time. You can have somebody in an emotional state. You can have somebody in a situation that they think this, but this, that because they have this in this point situation, doesn't mean that's who they are all the time. You catch me at a time that I'm really hungry and you come in there, you poke the bear, you might get screamed at. It doesn't mean that I'm evil and I'm gnarly all the time. It's just that time period that you caught me in was a time that I was in another state. But when we talk about consistent over time, this is the person that you find, this is what they are maybe 85 to 90% of the time. We all got times that we're irritated. We all got times that we're upset. We all got times that we cry. We all got times that we're happy. But what are you 90% of the time? Kind of like what we're talking about with your character. Your character is really who you are when nobody's looking. What do you do when you know nobody's watching over your shoulder? How do you conduct yourself when nobody else is around? This is one's mentality. So we talked about on last week, the machine learning mentality. And the machine learning mentality simply means this, that when we talk about machine learning, and I use the reference from computer science, what machine learning is that they take a set of data, something, a set of experiences, and they give it to the computer, and now the computer starts to make automatic decisions based off that set of data, okay? So what I proposed to you on last week was, what if God had already given us a set of experiences that we was to program ourselves off of so that we have automatic response? And that set of data that we said was the Beatitudes. If you turn to Matthew 5 and 3, you'll see a list there of the 8 Beatitudes. And we've been dealing with 2 a week. So last week we dealt with 2, and this week we're going to deal with the next 2. So what I'm suggesting to you is that we are a machine. Your body works as a machine with your brain being the main function. Amen? And the brain, and we already know that our brain and our bodies can be what? They can be trained to go to the next level. They can be trained to do things automatically. In fact, you don't tell your heart to beat, because you probably would forget. You don't tell your lungs to breathe air because you probably would forget. Do you see what I'm saying? So your body is what? Automatically programmed that it tells your lungs to take in air. Your body's automatically programmed, it tells your heart to beat at a certain rate according to the muscles, amen? They tell me, you know, I was a weightlifter and I haven't touched the weight in about 2 years due to coronavirus, but I feel very confident that I can go in and probably lift 250 pounds pretty easily. Why? Because I have this thing they call muscle memory. So even when I haven't done it for a while, my body remembers the last state it was in. Now, granted, I might not be able to do 5 or 10 of them like I used to, but I'm pretty sure I can get one. That muscle memory. So what happens is over time, if I do it for like 2 more weeks, all of a sudden, when I only can usually can get one, it'll go back up to 8, 9, 10 where I was. Why? Because the body remembers. So training is essential. We train our children. We train ourselves. We go to school. We learn things. So training is essential. So why do we believe as believers that training our spirit to act right, training our body to act right, which is called discipline, is any different?
See, we take this thing by, we just kind of show up and we're just supposed to do some things. Things just do not happen. There is a training and there's a discipline behind it. In the Bible, in fact, we call it a doctrine. Your doctrine is what? Your training book. It's your training manual of how you want to conduct themselves. We find throughout the New Testament that Paul spends a lot of time writing the doctrine of the church. We talked about in Bible study that what the church was first founded at Antioch is where they first called them Christians. And from that point on, Paul starts to write letters, mainly from prison, because Paul spent most of his time in the New Testament in prison. And if he wasn't in prison, he was what? Shipwrecked. But that means God gave him time and isolation to be able to write these letters to the different churches, which is what we see now in the form of Romans and what we see in Corinthians 1 and 2 and in Ephesians and Philippi. All these things are what? Letters to different churches. To give them instruction on how to what? Conduct themselves. So he spends the latter part of the New Testament outside of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which talks about the life of Jesus. The rest of the book is dedicated to what? The church. Yet some of us in the apostolic faith, we just stuck in Acts 2:38. When it's so much more. Yeah, the church is started. You got saved. Now, what do you do afterward? He said, after the Holy Ghost will come, that you will have what? Power. So if you got power, what are you going to do with power? Power is useless unless it's being used. Amen? So if we are believers and we have all this power, what are we doing? So here he's telling us today that what? How do I go in this? So I want to be able to get my body to a point that I have an automatic response and that it changes my mentality. So when I grew up and I was a certain thing, if somebody said something to me, my first thing was to do what we call snap back. Somebody's gonna say, yo, this is fake Jordan, you got on black, but your whole head fake or something, right? You know, you go back and forth. It was a sharp tongue, right? That's how you defended yourself, but that's how we came up, but that's what we did. And if you didn't come back, you was deemed weak, or you were deemed one that everybody would pick on. Okay? So you over time you build a mentality. So say what? Anytime somebody say something to me, you already got something around the top of your tongue to say back. We see it still in the streets today that people, you know, get to certain places and certain situations. God has blessed them to have some things, and they get in certain environments and they embarrass themselves. Not because they intentionally do it, but it's their mentality. It's the way they have been trained over time. So now you can't just take a turtle and stick him in the desert and tell him to live. Would he live over time? Over a time period that different turtles would come through, and what these turtles would learn to adapt to the new situation, and they will find a way to survive, because we're survivors and that's what we do. But being turned from here today overnight changes things. So this is why I believe the Bible says it like this. He said, come just as you are. If you was a street or woman of the night, unless you filled with the Holy Ghost and he dropped you right there, I'm not expecting you to drop it right there. I want you to drop it right there. But some of us, God delivers instantaneously, and some of us, it's a process. There are some things I can tell you about my life that God dropped immediately, and there's some other things that I still struggle with 20 years later, 30 years later. Why? Because even Paul says this. Paul said what? I prayed 3 times that, Lord, you remove this thing from my sight. What does he tell him? He said that my grace is sufficient, which tells me, brothers and sisters, that's going to always be something that we deal with personally, that we know that we struggle with, that we're going to continually deal with, that we just have to what? Have the grace to maintain and go forward. Lord, I messed up again today on this. But, and the thing is that, you know, the devil comes in what? The villas in condemnation. And what he does with the condemnation is he keeps that one thing that you keep tripping over, that you, like, you should have been over there by now, and you're just not, because that's not where you are. He does what? He takes that to what? To pull you slowly out of the church. Well, you messed up again. You did that again. You slept with him again. You went over and spent money on that again. And then you slowly find yourself backsliding, when in fact what you should be doing is getting closer to Christ. Like, no, I stayed here another day. Yeah, I made it another day. Well, he gave me another grace, another mercy. It doesn't mean that you continue. It's not habitual to the point that, you know, I'm just doing stuff on purpose. So this is what we talk about, this mentality. So let me get into this. I'm already preaching already. All right, we want to go to a couple of verses today. I have for you, I want you to go to Matthew, of course, Matthew 5 and 3, that would be the Beatitudes. And then we want to go to 2 Samuel 4 and 4. 1 Corinthians. Oh, let me slow down. I'm already hyped up. 2 Samuel 4 and 4. You can put a thumb in that. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Matthew 6 and 28. And I will give you those verses when we come back to them. All right, the Beatitudes. So today, the Beatitude that we're working on today is Matthew 5 and 5. And it says this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do thirst, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. All right, so we're going to deal with those two today. And those two verses there, those two Beatitudes, as part of our training regimen. Lord, how do I be meek? What does it mean to be meek? Lord, how do I continually chase after righteousness and know that at some point, Lord, that you're going to fulfill us? This is what we're talking about today. So two things. So when we talk about being meek, what we mean by what? Gentle and lowly. Now, the contrasting thing from the world that we fight against is power. We all tell each other, power, 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 be more powerful, be more powerful. Why is powerful, being more powerful, a thing that we don't directly pursue? Because the more powerful an individual is, the more likely they are to what? To attain that they are the ones that are responsible for where they are. Are y'all with me? See, when you think you've done it, when you think you put it together, then you become this thing what we call self-centered. And this is directly against the principles of God. See, when I think I'm self, you know, when somebody walks around talking about they're a self-made millionaire, I cringe at that fact, because really, technically, nobody's self-made, which means that you had somebody you worked with. There was somebody you had some kind of relationship with, whether you were selling goods or something. If they didn't sell you their goods at the price they sold it at, you cannot be a millionaire. Nobody's really a self-made anything. Everybody's had help at some point in time. There was somebody who gave you a deal. There was somebody who opened up a door. There was somebody who gave you an opportunity. And that right there in itself meaning that you had help. Are y'all with me? So if we have power, when you have the power means that what? I have control. And if I have control, then that puts me in a position that I can initiate things and make things happen. Power is, you know, it's that saying that said absolute power corrupts absolutely. Why? Because if you have absolute power, that means what? You control everything, and now you become with the God complex. This is why I believe that God talks about this here and what? To be meek and be lowly. Why? Because you don't want to be in a state that you think you're running stuff. Because God can have to remind us sometimes. I think about sometimes I look at this Apple computer and this Apple iPad and all these Apple products on the Apple iPhone and these different things. As powerful as these tools are and how much they help us in our day-to-day life, the inventor of them did not even have the power to save his own life. Very bright man. We know he did all these different things and he thought about things differently. In fact, he came up with the term think differently. Amen. You know, he did all this stuff. Yet when he got sick in his body, his money meant nothing. He couldn't, all the money he had, Jobs could not take that money and buy his health. So we're reminded, this is why I always tell people that death and health are the great equalizers. Because if your health is in trouble, I don't care how much money you got, you'll spend all your wealth to try to get your health. And then at death, we're all the same. So they are the great equalizer. So this is what he tells us here. I want to dig a little bit deeper. Let's talk about how do we get to that state. Amen. So then in that we also keep going to the next one was, let me get back in my note here. Open up. All right. The next part of here was hunger and thirst for righteousness. These are what? Not pursuing personal needs. He tells us what? To hunger and thirst after righteousness. These are those who are being what? this, you know, I often get this thing, and I understand it from the point of view that some people say, well, we'll never really be treated equal. We'll never really get to this place. We'll never really get to that. And in some aspects, that very well may be true. But what God tells us to do, though, is what? To pursue. We are to pursue righteousness. We are to pursue equality. We are to pursue all those things. And as we pursue them, an interesting thing happens. As we pursue them, we get better at who we are. That things come off us. Things make us stronger. Situations we go through make us better. So what happens is, it's not so much the destination as it is the journey. You know, I sit back and I look at this and I calculate these things. And, you know, as an educator, we could talk about this thing called the achievement gap, okay? And in the achievement gap, what we look at it in terms of race. We look at it in terms of black and white. That the white kids are achieving at this level and the black kids are achieving at this level. And we often talk about we want to close the gap because we want both sets of kids to achieve at the same level, which in theory sounds like a great thing. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at it from a mathematical point of view, one of two things has to happen. Either the lower group, which is the black kids, either have to achieve at twice the rate to catch up to the white kids, but at the same time, the white kids will have to do what? They will have to stand still. Now, the whole point about our society is that what we are progressive society, we want everybody moving forward. So if this group here is progressing at twice the rate, the high group is going to start asking questions. Why aren't we doing it at twice the rate? Oh, y'all see where I'm going with that? So if that's the case, then what? Now they're working at twice the rate, and this is working at twice the rate. What happens is that the gap is, unless one of the groups, in particular the high group, does not achieve anymore. And we know that's not going to be the case. Do y'all see what I'm saying? So yes, it's a good thing in theory. And this is why I pursue it. And knowing that, what, this is one of these things that I pursue, but I never really ever get there. But in pursuing it, I changed the life of somebody. In pursuing that, I made it a little bit better for somebody. In pursuing that, and this is the same thing with you. You may be talking to somebody. You're trying to get them to come to church. You're trying to get them to say, you might be speaking to a sister or a brother or a friend or a colleague or a relative, and you may be impressing upon them, and you feel like you're getting nowhere. But I'm here to tell you today that those seeds that you are planting, those things that you are saying, because you're thirsting after what? Righteousness. The Bible said that what? You will be filled. So you may not be filled according to what you were thinking. You may not be filled according to the level you were seeking, but I'm here to tell you today that God has a level that he's already preordained for you that you're going to feel, and you feel it by what? Pursuing. This is why he tells us to pursue after these things. This is why Paul calls it what? Fighting the good fight. Paul knows he's not going to win. In fact, Paul loses his life. But he says what? I'll be immortal for Christ. I'm going to fight the good fight, even though I know it's going to cost me my life. And that's what he is. And Christ is saying that what? You will be filled in that day. In that day when he calls us up to meet him in the air, we will be filled. So watch this. Let's go a little bit more into biblical text here. I want you to turn with me to go to which one was that? Samuel's. 2 Samuel. I think that was 4:4. 2 Samuel 4:4, and it reads this. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. He came, he fell, his name is Mephibosheth. All right. The second one I want you to go to is 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it says this. There have no temptation you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That ye may be able to bear it. So if I were used for a subject on this day, it's a just while in pursuit. Mentality, part 2, adjust while in pursuit. All right, so we find these two verses that come here today when we read about these two things. One thing he tells us to what? To be what? Lawful, be meek, meaning that what? We're not overpowered this thing. We're not walking in our own power. We know which our power comes from. We know which our help comes from. We know which our strength comes from. And our strength coming from who? It coming from the Lord, amen? That we have to trust in him so that we won't get in there and lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. And the Bible said that what? He would direct our paths. So when we're walking in this, what we find is that being gentle and being meek in our world is looked at as a thing of weakness, when in fact it's actually a thing of strength. See, being disciplined means that you're strong. Doing whatever you want to do means that you're weak. Why? Because it does not require anything to put any constraints on yourself to do whatever it is you want to do. I know people walk me and say, well, I just can't stop cussing. Yes, you can. Well, I just can't stop doing this. Yes, you can. The Bible just told me that what? That if you got it, that you have the power to be able to handle it. And if you are able to handle, that means that he's already given me the power to do so. But I have to do what? I have to pursue it. He said, pursue righteousness. So as I pursue a thing, he develops me along the way. So as I walk in by faith and not by sight, then what happens is that I get better. If you recall the story, when Peter got out of the boat, Peter didn't know exactly what was going on. But as long as he kept his eyes on Christ, he was able to walk. He was pursuing those things. And as he pursued, what does he do? He loses himself. See, God wants us at a point that we lose ourselves. There was a song that came out a couple of years ago, but Eminem talking about he loses himself in the moment. We need to lose ourselves in the moment. There used to be a time in church that we would come in church, we wouldn't watch the clock. There used to be a time we'd come in church that we would be in there from sun up to sundown. And I'm not suggesting that's what we do now, but it was the fact that we lost ourselves in the moment. There used to be a time that we would pray and we wouldn't worry about what time we prayed and how long we prayed. But we were like, Lord, are you doing a work? Lord, are you changing me? Lord, are you opening up doors? Or are you opening up blinded eyes? Oh God, all my needs are being met. That's why I believe to a certain extent that God has us where we need to be. He had us there. Why? Because as soon as we got home and we got all this stuff, we stopped praying, but we started thinking that we did it. And he's here to remind us. He's reminding us through COVID-19. He's reminding us through things in our houses. He's reminding us through things in our relationship that what is I that am the supplier of your needs. So go with me real quickly. Let's read about that. And this is my last verse, and I'm going to bring this thing home. Which one is that? Let me get to that. That was Matthew 6 and 33, and he says this. But ye seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you read the verses before, they're talking about, what about the things that we need, God? And he's saying simply this, if you seek me first, if you lose yourself in me first, if you learn to adjust while you pursue, all these things that you need, you're going to have them. In fact, the Bible says like this, that your blessings will what? Run and take you over. That you will not have what? Room to store the blessings he has for you. But what happens, brothers and sisters, we seek the wrong thing. So when he's telling us to be meek, see, meek is not weakness, it's actually strength. In fact, that you have to adjust. Let me bring it home for you. Y'all know this story called The Three Little Bears. And in The Three Little Bears, remember this was the story about the little girl who comes into the bear's house. And she comes to the bear's house and she tries certain things. And there are three or four different options for her. And she got the first one and said, oh, this one's too big. Or next one's too small. But there was always one that was what? Just right. So she goes through the clothes. She goes through the food. She goes through the bed. To the point that what? She keeps finding the right amount of attention for the situation. She finds the right thing, the right setting and the right place for her. I'm here to tell you today that God has an exact amount of attention for you that is right and set just for you. This is why you can't look at what I'm going through and say that's not for you. This is why you can't look what somebody else is going through and say something about it. Why? Because we do not know where you are in your walk with Christ. And according to where you are in your walk with Christ, God will turn the attention on that thing just enough for you to grow. That's what weightlifting is about. It's not about lifting the biggest weight in the room. It's about giving you just enough tension that you can do it, but it's a struggle. See, think about it. Think about the things in your life. Job says it like this. He said, man's days were short and full of trouble. But he did not say what level of trouble was it. But I'm here to tell you today, the Bible says what? He provides a way of escape. So what does he do? He gives you just enough to make you pray. He gives you just enough to make you stay on your knees. He gives you just enough that makes sure that, you know what, you got, no, oh, I don't think you did this. I did this. Because we serve a God who's a jealous God. He makes no bones about it. He wants nobody to take his glory but him. So as long as you're giving him glory, that's you seeking him. As long as you're giving him praise, that's you seeking him. And what does he do? He said, as you do that, all this other stuff, it just get added on. These are fringe benefits. I took the job because I like what they did, but giving me time off and giving me this and giving me that and paying for life insurance and health insurance, all this stuff is extra, which are good things. So if we lose ourselves, brothers and sisters, out of pursuit of Christ, if we lose ourselves and just what they hold the right amount of tension. When I think about tension, I think about it like this. Tension is like holding a baby bird. Hold up, imagine you holding a bird in the palm of your hand. See, when I play golf, they tell them, you know, me, they say, Pete, you grip the golf club. They can see every vein in my bicep. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm gripping it so hard. But you can see every vein in my arm. But they're like, you need to grip it like you're holding a baby bird. What do you think about a baby bird? You're holding it tight enough, it ain't going to get away. But loose enough that you ain't going to kill it. So what we find here with Mephibosheth, the reason I bring Mephibosheth up is that Mephibosheth is one of those situations. Hear what? Mephibosheth was going and was doing something that was good. The nurse was taking him. Why? Because the kingdom was gone. This is Jonathan. This is David's, remember David's best friend, Jonathan. This is David's best friend, Jonathan. This is Jonathan's boy. The only male seed. He's 5 years old. Healthy boy. Nothing's wrong with him. Because see, every time we talk about Mephibosheth, we find Mephibosheth being lame and crippled. But none of us ever thought a question, how did he get there? Because most of us just assumed it happened. When you see a brother and sister in a bad situation, some of us just assume that they made bad decisions. Some of us assume that they did this. Some of us assume that they did that. Not questioning what else happened. Because the truth of the matter is, if some of those things happen to you, you'll probably be in the same situation or even worse. So I'm careful how I judge a sister that might be one of the women of the night. I'm careful how I judge a brother who's shooting up his veins and that stuff. Because I found out there's some people who got PhDs that's doing that stuff. That was just in their office one day and the mind did not come back. Because of the pressure. And I work in that space and I see how people, well, they're there, they're what? They're alcoholics or womenizers. They have to have some way of outlet. So that's why I said, baby, let me go fishing. Y'all, that's my plug. But nonetheless, anyway, but they have things that they have to what? To release. And some of them find release through those things. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? But I'm so grateful that I serve a God. So they can talk about me all they want. I'm going to be a man of faith because I know it's Jehovah Jireh that keeps me. This is why you often hear me, you know, praying and teaching you all and talking about the mind, because the mind, so goes the mind, so goes the body, and so goes the soul. So our mind at the end of the day, despite everything else what goes on, our mind is what we must protect. This is why Jesus said, let this mind be in you that's in who? Christ Jesus. It's the mind. So what happens is Mephibosheth, and she's running. She's taking care of Mephibosheth, but what does she do? She releases the tension. And as she releases the tension, that which was a blessing, that which was, you know, should have been part of the lineage going forward, that was healthy, that was vibrant, now gets dropped along the way to the point that is now harmed. How many of you have dropped something along the way because you released the tension? How many of you God had put a dream in your heart? He put a vision in your soul and told you this was it. And somewhere along the line, you got weak and you let go. See, being humble is, being in meekness is saying that I know just the amount of tension. It's not weakness. Because if I'm carrying something heavy, I got to be very strong. But I can't squeeze the life out of it either. So it's just giving enough attention to it, but enough release that it can grow. I think about, you know, this week my daughter turned 10, and my wife and I were having these conversations, and there's things that she's doing and conversations that she's having, and she's growing, and I'm trying to be very careful because that's my baby. But it's like, I gotta let go some. Because she gotta explore, and I'd rather her have some of these experiences I know she's gotta have while we're here. So we can have this conversation, like, baby, we don't do that. Or this is how we will handle this, or this is how you need to look at it, or we be there for our shoulders to cry on, then we be dead and gone, and she never got to experience that, and now she's in a whole different work, this different situation. Are y'all with me? See, that's part of the parenting part that I'm learning is, you know, even when my father was like, it was just enough, then knew that you was in check, but you had enough rope to explore a little bit. And I'm better because if I got to explore, I don't want a perfect child. I did some things. I did some things I regret. There's some things I did. I don't think my parents know. They might know, but if he did, he never said nothing about it. Because what, he was just enough attention to let me grow, but enough to hold me to say, okay, you can't go. So when she's running with Mephibosheth, she can't squeeze him so hard because she'll kill him. Because our job as a nurse is to what? Protect him. But at the same time, she cannot squeeze him so tight. She couldn't hold on to him so tight that he couldn't breathe. So she had to bleed. So it's like what? It's a right amount. And this is this thing that you and I suffer with every single day is what is enough? I struggle with it. You struggle with it. What is enough? Did I do this right today? Did I cover that right today? Did that go the way they should have gone? It's that tension that we fight each and every day. And that's our struggle. Now that, so that's what it means to be what? Walking in meekness is to be able to adjust the tension. Also what? While in pursuit. So she was in pursuit of what? Trying to get out of this place. She was pursuing a righteous thing. She was trying to save the king, the parent heir son. Because we find out later on when you read the story that David goes in and says, now, are there any people who are related that's to this kingdom? Doesn't he? And they go in there and they say, there's one boy named Mephibosheth who's down in Lodibar. And I know y'all done heard people preach the heck out of Lodibar. But how did Lodibar occur? Because the dream was dropped. The vision was dropped for lack of attention. Think of it. What things have you dropped for your lack of attention? What things are not going on now for your lack of attention that you look at it sometimes and regret? What things that God has given you currently that you're about to drop for lack of attention? Which things in your life are you holding on to too tightly and they can't grow because you're smothering them? See, we're talking about our machine building. This is what? So we'll become automatic on this. We want to get to the point that we're automatic on that. Okay, God, I'm not going to smother that. I feel you, but I'm keeping my eye on it. Mm-hmm. You know, trust me, with the women's group, I mean, this is a small church. We're growing. We're trying to get to the point. So it's very hard for your pastor not to want to stick his nose over there. But I'm going to be very intentional not doing it because I'm training myself. Though, if the women are going to get together and they're going to be who God got to call them to be, that they got to go through some things and you can't have your hand in it because you want to taint it. And all you're wanting to be helpful, you actually do damage because you squeeze it. They feel smothered. They can't do anything. So that's why when Sister Pam came to me, I said, y'all do whatever. You prayed about it, I'm trusting you. And I'm over there like, please, Lord, 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 please, Lord, Lord. Just like your children, right? Because these are, the ministries are your babies. Just like my baby. Every time Maddie go out the house, I'm like, Lord, let her come back. Let her come back safe. I hope she didn't listen to that. Because I started thinking about some of the things that happened to me. But at the same time, I cannot put my fears and project them on her. She has to experience those things for herself. And so oftentimes as adults and parents and believers, this is why we got some of that crazy doctrine we have. That stuff ain't biblical. We came up with stuff because what? People, we didn't trust people. Don't go to the movies. Oh, I'm getting apostolic on y'all now. We didn't go to the movies for years. And you know what the true reason why we didn't go to the movies? It was because at that time, only way you could see pornographic films were in the movies. Mm-hmm. But then it came about 85, they came out with this thing called Betamax and VHS, and then the saints could watch them at home. Y'all didn't catch what I just said. They could watch them at home. So what was the point? They came out of the movie. Yeah, you don't see that stuff being shown in movie theaters now. And in fact, you can probably watch everything you want on your cell phone now. Do you see what I'm getting at? See where I'm going? So instead of dealing with the issue, which was lust and sin, instead of killing the issue, you killed the method. Because that screen could have shown you the passion of the Christ, and it could have shown you all these other things. It could have been an outlet for the children not to be doing silly stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? And so oftentimes we've done that to so many things in our lives. I've done it. You continue to do it. Don't go to the pool hall. I used to think it was a sin to shoot pool. No, what they were really saying was, as I got to be an adult, was that's kind of where people who didn't do a lot of nice things kind of hung out. And that was true. You know, you can go in there, I can go to the pool hall and probably find all the stuff that was on the black market, find you a nice Fendi bag that was probably lifted up, and I could buy you, you know, cigarettes, drugs, whatever you wanted. But it had nothing to do with the game of pool. So every time I walked by a billiard table, I felt the same kind of way. That was of the devil. Do you see what I'm saying? So then when I get to college, I'm looking silly. And I'm being ostracized. And I'm like, why? Because these people are scared of me. Because they like, the devil's in everything. And see, that's the thing, you know, it gets me about, and I know I'm about to get myself in trouble, but so be it. You know, the thing about some of my colleagues, when we're working through our stuff, especially right now with this critical race theory, everybody's on the edge about critical race theory, and I get it. It's a way that you look at things. I study. I'm a scholar first. Amen. But nonetheless, it ain't in everything. I got some people, I can't go with them nowhere. They see race in everything. It's race in that light. It's black, but it shines white light. Y'all get what I'm saying? Y'all know those people. And how do you draw somebody to Christ when they think that's who you really are? Well, I know that's just a filter that we wear. And when our sound doctrine is important. It is. It's critical. But we have to be careful. The Bible tells us about that. That we don't what? Impart some of the things that we're dealing with on others. So we'll tell them, nope, you can't go on vacation more than a week. You know, I have some people, you know, we used to, back in this church, it never happened here, used to come in and ask them, is it okay for me to have sex with my wife tonight? Huh? People would ask that kind of stuff. And to me, that's bondage. The Bible said that the marriage bed was undefiled. You married a woman, if she want to go 20 times a week, that's between you and her. And if she want to go none now, well, we're going to, y'all going to work on that. But nonetheless, that's not my call as your pastor. God has given you the right to make choices. What job do I take, Pastor? I can pray with you and ask that God show you, but that's going to be your decision. What color I wear? I mean, people used to call and say, can I wear this color? And I know it got to the point, we had a point that you couldn't wear these kind of stockings, and you couldn't wear this kind of thing, and this and that. And I get the reasons behind that. But I'm going to tell you what, if that man is lusting so bad that he's lusting over your hairy legs, to the point you got to wear the cotton stockings, we got another issue. Because it ain't just you. He doing that on everybody. Do you see what I'm saying? But at the same time, if you're going to wear a Madonna-type dress in here, and you already know, there's some issues with you too. So at a point, I don't have to. The mothers of this church, we don't have to beat you down. We just going to love you. We're going to tell you God's truth. And what you're going to feel after a while, you're going to start looking. Nobody else comes in here like this. You're going to feel out of place. I ain't got to tell you nothing. And what happens is what? You adjust to the atmosphere. See, I used to have fish, and I'm trying to get some more. And we used to have fish in a fishing tank, right? And when I get new fish, the first thing they tell you is you just don't throw the new fish in the water. You're going to shock them. What you would do is you would take the fish in that bag, and maybe for 25, 30 minutes, we would just take the bag, and you lay the whole bag with the fish in the old water in there. And what happens is gradually over time, the temperature from the outside of the bag meets the same as the one in the inside of the bag. Meaning that the outside water, the inside water reaches the outside water's temperature. The fish got that gradually, so it didn't shock his system. See, some of us, the reason I believe that some people don't stay in the church, we shock the hell out of them. Okay, you saved now. So here you go. Here's your list of all the things you can't do. Well, now, you really should be a list of this is what you can do. Do you see what I'm saying? When we first get to the church, we tell them all these things they can do. When my Bible tells them coming, that you have life, that you have life more abundantly. He said, what? Then he also says this. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself and love the Lord thy God with what? All the heart, the mind, the body, soul, and spirit. So if you do just that one, you cover all the don'ts. Because if you love him, you won't be out here sinning intentionally. You'll feel it some way about it. Like, I don't know about that. And God has a what? What? He said, well, if you will seek him, then what? All these things will be added to you. So he'll bring somebody to you. There'll be something that'll occur. There'll be a situation or a circumstance and you'll be like, oh, I didn't know I couldn't do that. There were things that I was doing for years that I found out later on, oh, I shouldn't have been able to do that. And when as soon as I found out, because I wanted to live in righteousness, I self-corrected. The most powerful thing is not being told what to do, but realizing what you need to do. I tell my students this all the time. The analogy I use for this, and I'm going to shut it down. The analogy I use for this is simply this. I tell you, what if you had, you know how sometimes you might have like a lint, a piece of lint on your face or something when you put on your clothes, right? So say if you have like a little lint ball in the, on your eyebrow. And you know, sometimes people be trying to get your attention. Sometimes they be like this. You trying to tell you take something, they don't just walk up and touch your face. And I get that and I respect that. And they be trying to say, get this. And you be up there and you see yourself sometimes. You ever been at that point, you doing all this? And they be like, no, further. And the next thing you know, you find yourself at a point of frustration. At least I do. And you know what I ask? Give me a mirror. Because when I see it in the mirror, there's no guessing. I know exactly where it's at, and I see it, and I remove it. That's all they wanted. They didn't want to frustrate me. They were really trying to help me, but in their pursuit of helping me, it pushed me to a point of frustration, and now that I'm frustrated, not only with them, but also the situation. You see how sometimes we as believers have folks frustrated with us when we're really trying to help. Lord knows I ain't trying to hurt nobody. Because I see them doing this, and you say you want this, but you're doing that. So I might, in my way, say, well, I wouldn't do that. And next thing you know, they, oh, how you gonna tell me what to do? Y'all know how I go. But you say you want a house, so why are you spending the money on a brand new car? That's how I always think, right? Because I'm trying to help you. But what I find also is we have to ask God to give us and help us to be strategic enough to put situations and circumstances in the sense that people get to realize the best teacher sometimes is you realizing it yourself. So when I'm in that mirror, that's self-evaluation. I got something on my face. I need to get it off. And I take care of it. And because I did it, I believe it, and I follow through. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? So we as believers, what we are actually supposed to do, you know what we're supposed to do? As we pursue in meekness, is we are the mirror. Watch this, and I'm going to close. The Bible tells us that what? We are made in the image of Christ, correct? So if we're made in the image of Christ, which means, image means that we should reflect Christ, right? So if I'm a believer and I'm walking in, I'm the image of Christ, now when a non-believer sees me, they see who they should be. Did y'all get that? They see who they should be. So this is why, brothers and sisters, that sometimes, you know how sometimes you surround certain people and they get irritated by you and you know you haven't done anything? Because you're showing them everything they should be that they're not. And that they have fallen short and now they got to get it together. So that's why you irritate them, your mere presence. Why? Because you are excelling and God, they see the God in you and the God in you is speaking to the God part in them to say, it's time for you to get it together. What he's doing, what she's doing, how they look, how they dress, how they carry themselves. That should be you. But yet you refuse to seek him. This is why I seek him. I know I look good for my age. I'm grateful. That's God, ain't me. Because I didn't abuse drugs and alcohol and all these things to tear my body. They weren't because I didn't want to, but it was the God in me that wouldn't allow me to. Do you see what I'm saying? It don't make me better. I'm not better than any of you. But it was the God that lives inside of me that said that you can't do that. And I still had a choice to make and not do that. So now I'm a reflection of God's grace and God's mercy. We do okay. We're not rich. We do all right. By my standard, we do all right. none of us in here are rich, but we do okay. But to some of those who don't have, to some of those who are pursuing, those who are looking, they look at you and they look at I and they think we are rich. You know, they treat us a certain way. And they come out to us a certain way. And it's not, and they can't help it. Why? Because they see everything that they should be, that they gotta measure up to be. And this is not comparison, but this is what? That reflection is showing me, okay, I need to get this off my face. And what we are, you and I are to do as believers are to encourage them. And if they open up themselves and say, oh, I want to know a little bit more, this is where I can take them on that journey and say, look, this is where I get on my knees and pray. This is not something I've done. This is where I've struggled. This is where I've missed the mark. This is where I want to throw in the towel. This is where I found myself. This is the time that me and my wife almost called it quits. This is the time I almost went bankrupt. This is the time when I want to throw it all in. This is the time I want to kill myself. To let them know that I'm not far from where you are. But the difference is because I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things are added unto me. And that's the difference. Without Christ, we all the same. That's the difference. So you walk away, and I hope that you take away with from this message today, even though it started out a little rough, but I believe God got done what he wanted done today, that walk away with adjust as you pursue. Because the weight, in some cases, is going to be heavier. So that means you got to learn how to hold a little tighter, but looser at the same time. God is taking some of you to another level. And I'm learning, even to me, I just got promoted. I'm already learning. The weight is a little heavier, but it's a different kind of weight. So I'm having to readjust myself right now. I've never been in this space before. Things I was ready to go lift, because I've been lifting these for the last 15 years, I don't lift those kind of weights no more. It's a different kind of weight now. It's a different kind of thing. Conversations I used to have with individuals, I can't have no more now. It's a different kind of weight. Not because I'm better than anybody else, but my positioning and my place of authority of how I interact with others matters more now. And it's the same with you, brothers and sisters. As God anoints you and he opened up doors for you and he put you in places and do things in this ministry, people see you differently. I think Jay-Z said it like this. He said, people have to ask, why did you change? He said, it ain't me that's changed, it's the people around me that did. When I got money. And I'm telling you the same thing. You change for the better, but the people around you, they change for why? Because now you make them uncomfortable to be in your presence. And that's nothing but the Holy Ghost. They say, okay, this is why I need to tighten up at. You'll be surprised. This is what the Bible says, what? Be careful of every man who speaks well of you. Why? Not because they just hate you, but that thing inside of you, that Holy Ghost that's inside of you, cannot agree with the world. So that's why they speak bad of you. Not because you've done bad. It's in fact because you're doing good and it irritates that devil inside of them. That devil inside of them, cannot, light and darkness cannot mix. It's either on or it's off. And we are what? The carriers of the light. We bring what? Light to the room. When you bring that candle out there and you bring that, put that light in darkness, what happens? It attracts everything, doesn't it? Because everybody sees the light. I encourage you today, stay steadfast, stay in there. I know it's been tough. I know things are going one direction and going up, but I'm here to encourage you today that in your meekness, adjust the tension as we pursue. In some cases, you need to tighten up, and you know those areas in your life you need to tighten up. And in some cases, you need to relax a little bit. You know those areas in your life you need to relax a little bit. But nonetheless, pursue. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that this message has found you where you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Will there be anyone who would like any prayer on today at this point in time? I'm asking that we all just stand to our feet as we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you've done in this house on today. How many of you know that God has been good to us? He's been so good to us. He's been so good to us. And I'm just so grateful that he's been so good to us. Today and yesterday and the day before that and the weeks and years to come. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your God and your God alone. Besides you, there is no other. Lord, we thank you for the word that's come forth on this day. Lord, I ask that you just touch your people, Lord Jesus. Look upon them, oh God. Lord, just ask that you touch them as they go up and down the dangerous highways. Lord, I ask that you touch them in their heart and their spirit, Lord, that this word found them today, oh God.
that they learn to adjust, oh God, why they pursue you, Lord Jesus, that we continually pursue, Lord, that sometimes there's some things we need to pull back on, but Lord, there's some things, Lord, that we need to tighten up on. God, that you help us to go to the next level in you, Lord, you help us to go forth, Lord, you to do your will and to do your way, oh God, Lord, help us to compel them to come, oh God, by our life, Lord Jesus, as we image you, Lord Jesus, we mirror Christ, oh God, Lord, you let us be a mirror to them, oh God, defying, Lord Jesus, that they can do better, and let us be our encourager of them as they go forth, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, I ask that you watch up and continue to keep the Washington family, oh God, in their time of agreement. Lord, I ask that you comfort them, oh God. Help them, Lord Jesus, go forth, Lord Jesus, that this too will pass, Lord. And we thank you for the tremendous life that Mother Washington has lived, Lord. We ask that you touch the Jordans and Mother Jordan, Martha Jordan. Continue to bless them and keep them, oh God, and touch them, Lord, like only you can, Lord. We thank you for the life that you've given her right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you watch them and you keep them, take them down that highway, bring them back safely, Lord. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to them in any form or fashion. Lord, I ask that you continue to heal our bodies, oh God, Lord, where we are sore, Lord, where we hurt, Lord, where things are not going exactly the way that they should go. Lord, I ask that you touch them right now. From the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord, you bless them, oh God, like only you can. Lord, you ask that you touch us in our mind, our heart, our body, our soul, and spirit. You said, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. So let us walk in the singleness of mind. And Lord, we thank you lastly, Lord, we thank you for 3 years, oh God, that the Safe House Church has been here, oh God. We thank you for this 3-year anniversary, oh God, as we go forth, Lord Jesus, and know that you're God and you're God alone, and besides you, there is no other. And Lord, we look forward to another 3, oh God, Lord, for the 3, the Trinity, Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord, you in 3s, Lord, that you do things, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, and we give your name the honor and the praise for that. We ask that you bless the offering on today, those who have it to give, and those that have it not, oh God. Open up that windows of heaven, Lord, and pour them out a blessing that they have room not to receive. And Lord, we ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus, for we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. May I ask that you, if there be any who have offered, remember also we do offering electronically for those who are on the web. I know I had to give you much today. Those who, if God is so inclined you to do so, you can bless us here at the Safe House Church financially and cash out. That's $ Safe House Church, GSO. That's, again, that's $ Safe House Church, GSO. Or you can PayPal, paypal.me/ministry8. Again, it's paypal.me/ministry8. Amen. And we're just so grateful to you. Also, those who would like to mail.